Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Major League Soccer season will be starting shortly. Minnesota United will open up at Portland, and that'll be the first weekend in March. And joining us now is the sporting director for Min U, Manny Lagos. And Manny, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you very much. Ironically, I'm actually in Portland right now with the guys for a preseason trip.
Yeah, I know you've got some friendlies out there, and of course Portland's one of the great cities on the MLS map, and they really do embrace soccer out there in the Northwest, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think their kind of footprint is what we kind of followed in terms of trying to build an environment and a fan base in an urban core, urban setting that's more than just the game itself, an experience. And they have an amazing fan base and an amazing culture out here. Like I said, I think in the last year, I think we've done a good job to be kind of like them in terms of what a game day event can be for soccer.
All right, so Minnesota United went through, winter training down in Florida. Now you've had some friendlies, some tune-up matches, if you will, as you get ready for Sunday, March 1st. So that's 2 weeks from tomorrow against the Portland Timbers at Providence Park. Where are you now as far as the progress of the team and where you need to be?
Well, I think the team's been working very hard, been a very good preseason. You know, they went away for 2 weeks in Florida, came back for a couple days, got settled their housing stuff. We had some big marketing initiatives. They had a big kit reveal for this, our brand new wing uniform, which I think is one of the best uniforms in the league, by the way. It's unbelievable. And then they're going to be here for another 10 days. And this is a big 10 days because this is really to get their body and cycle ready for the game. And in terms of the roster, I think we still have one or two more signings that might happen before the beginning of the season. They may happen right after the season. But overall, I think the guys are very healthy, and we're really excited to kind of improve on last year.
Yeah, and stamina is such a big key in soccer. As you know, Manny, you've played it. You've coached it. So when you're down in winter training, what kind of drills are the soccer players going through so they're ready to go when the bell rings?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sports science now that goes into the aerobic and anaerobic side of preparing for a season. And this preseason is about 6 weeks, so you're really building your body up to be ready to run for 90 minutes, but not just run just like you're jogging, more like a big-time anaerobic kind of explosive running, then rest, then explosive running again. So they're training cycles. I would say early on in preseason, you know, you're doing 2 or 3 days of sessions. You're combining a lot of explosive sprinting work with some longer aerobic running. And then you combine that into your play. But what's interesting is that towards the end of even that first leg of preseason, now you start to pull in some real tactical stuff about how you think your team's going to set up, how the coach thinks what the player is going to be the first team. And then these next 10 days, you know, our fans are so excited because they get to see what kind of lineups the coach puts out there, what system we play, which in soccer is a huge deal because it's almost like a chess match. You know, if you have three defenders versus their team has four defenders, we have three tackers and their team only has two defenders with three wingbacks. All that kind of stuff starts to get sorted out these next 7 to 10 days to see how Minnesota will start out in terms of how they play on the field.
And, Minnesota United, part of Major League Soccer, it is, it's a business at the end of the day. There have been changes, as there, you know, always is when you go through an off season. You know, Darwin Quintero is gone and some other names. Shed some light on some decisions that were made and some names that maybe we're going to need to get to know in 2020.
Yeah, I think the biggest one that we are really excited about is Luis Amarilla. He's a Paraguayan that was just playing in Ecuador. We got him on loan from a club called Universidad de Católica in Ecuador. With an option to buy. And, you know, he's a goal scorer. He's very quick, fast, good movement, loves to get in the box. I think last year, if there's one area that we thought we could have really pushed ourselves to maybe make it more of a playoff run, it was probably finishing. You know, we had such a great year defensively, and really, I thought we really dominated a lot of games in terms of possession. And if you saw our playoff game against the LA Galaxy, it was one of the best nights, I think, in sports history in Minnesota. But we couldn't put the ball in the net. You know, I think we outshot them like 22-4 or 5. And in the end, you know, like low-scoring sports are cruel if you can't finish your chances. And I think this kid's got that kind of ability to really get in the box and score a lot. And he's a really big addition to what I think we already have a really good core of players.
Manny Lagos, our guest. He's the sporting director for Minnesota United. It's 538 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Yeah, I was in the house for that playoff matchup against the LA Galaxy, and there was so much anticipation. First ever MLS postseason match for Minnesota United, the honeymoon season at Allianz. And like you said, it was tight, it was close, and the Galaxy and wind up getting, I believe it was a 1-0 win or 2-0.
2-1.
Okay, so they walk out of there with the squeaker win. How do you classify last year? You knew you were going to get a honeymoon with Allianz. It's a wonderful venue, rave reviews, everybody gushing about it. And then you got to the postseason. Do you call that a success?
We do, just from the arc of what the goal was. You know, we entered MLS and really, you know, there's an explosion of investment in players on the field in MLS right now, which is great. You know, it really is becoming one of the better leagues in the world. I truly believe that. And there's a massive investment for a lot of clubs. And with us, we never made any bones about how we wanted a 3-year plan to kind of slowly invest into the team, as well as let the public know we have an amazing ownership group that's privately funding this stadium, and we can't do everything at once. And I feel an incredible amount of pride for how the team built into getting better every year to be ready to play the way they did in Allianz Field, which was such a special, special year on the field. I mean, we only lost once at home besides the playoff game. Every game, you know, it's just you were somewhere special and you knew it. And then the guy stepped up. And we won most of our games at home. So I think in that sense with success, I think where we want to try to navigate our two areas is how can we continue to get better, particularly, I would say, you know, in terms of scoring goals. But the second one is also trying to make sure we play better on the road. I think we know we felt like we could have been a little more resilient and found a few more points on the road to maybe instead of being a lower playoff seed, but a higher 1 or 2 playoff seed. And then that next step is just really kind of to push if we do get to the playoffs, knock on wood, that we're just a little more mentally tough and prepared to see out the kind of games that we couldn't quite see out last year.
Yeah, and it really is a grind. 34 regular season matches. You have, you know, the Lamar Hunt Cup in the middle of it, so that's extra stuff as well. So you have to be prepared. You have to be ready to go, don't you?
You do, and you have to find points. And, you know, again, when we open up here in 10 days, or maybe it's a little bit less than that, actually, 9 days against Portland, it's going to be a battle. You know, they've revamped their team a lot. They've spent, you know, they just bought a player for about $6 or $7 million from Slovakia. And they have a really good roster, and they've added a lot of pieces. And then they've improved from, you know, not making the playoffs last year and a little bit of a down year for them. So it starts right away. Again, like I said, when you have such a fast-growing league and you have so much investment going into every one of these teams, it's going to be important that you early on in the season find points any way you can. So as you go through the grind, you know, you feel confident that you're going to make the playoffs and do well.
And last season, you were front-loaded with road matches to start before you were able to get into Allianz. It's much different this year. You're at Portland to begin on March 1st, then at San Jose on March 7th, and then you come to St. Paul, home against the New York Red Bulls, home against Montreal, home against San Jose, home against the LA Galaxy. So 4 straight matches in March and early April, much different than a year ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, our calendar gets stretched. We actually qualify for what's called the League's Cup as well in the middle of summer, which is a great tournament that we play against other top Mexican teams, against the top MLS teams. So by the success we had last year, it actually put a little scheduling congestion in the middle of the year. So we had to push a few more games earlier in the season. But what I love about it is, you know, whether our players are from Minnesota or not, that's the reality of our resiliency, is that the March-April games to me will be, you know, a different weather than we're used to. But I also love that because it's Minnesota. It's a part of us. And then BA, hopefully our field gets to show off in our stadium. You know, we have a very high-level heated field system that I believe actually just got turned on this weekend. Pretty soon there'll be a tarp put on it. And then for the next couple of weeks, hopefully that ecosystem will grow into some beautiful grass by March 15th, barring hopefully not like a major snowstorm. I think it'll be a great, great event that's, you know, kind of who we are. And playing in March and April is not very often in soccer, but I think because of the technology of the stadium, I think it's going to be played really well.
Yeah, soccer in the Bold North. I know your owner, Bill McGuire, embraces it. Do you think, as somebody who played it and now you're in the front office for Minnesota United, Can that be the kind of advantage, say, the Minnesota Vikings used to have when they were at the old Met?
I definitely think so. You know, I definitely think as you grow into, you know, those kind of days where when it's bitter cold and you find out whether you really want to be there for the right reasons and win for your team, I think that's – whether we play in the summertime or not, I still think that's a big part of why Minnesota teams can and should be successful. As you know, we are going through the thick of the winter, and we have to deal with that cold one way or another. And I think it makes us tougher. I think it helps us plan for things that we're doing. So ultimately, 100%, I think the more and more we can embrace that resiliency, particularly like you said, that the Vikings did a great job of that in the 70s, you know, I think the better we're going to be and the better identity of our club's going to be.
Major League Soccer continues to grow by leaps and bounds, up to 26 franchises now. You brought in Cincinnati a year ago. Miami's on board. And there are other cities that want to join. I know you're going to get Austin FC, Charlotte, Sacramento, and St. Louis. So this model, this blueprint, it's exploding, isn't it?
It really is. And I think it's such a special time for Minnesota. And for just because our stadium, we have the nicest soccer stadium by all accounts in the league. I think everybody kind of is convinced Allianz Field is the very nicest stadium. I say that, though, because we're going to blink, and there's a great blueprint from these cities who are now coming in, and part of their bid for a franchise is also building a soccer-specific stadium. So Columbus, Austin, I think Charlotte's actually going to play in the NFL, but I think it got $100 million extra to renovate it for soccer. And I think their franchise fee was $325 million. So it is exploding in every world. And then you got Inter Miami, who just built a Fort Lauderdale stadium just for the next 2 years so they can build their new stadium in Miami. And they're bringing in – that's David Beckham's team, by the way – and they're bringing in a lot of big-time stars as well. So, you know, again, it's a great, exciting time to be in the sport and to see it kind of grow and to see the amount of investment. It's really exciting. We just got done finalizing the collective bargaining agreement last week. So we're clear of air to really start the season March 1st and get people excited about MLS.
Yeah, these soccer-specific stadiums that have popped up on the MLS map, a lot of them are really cool. Certainly what's over there on the Midway in St. Paul, Allianz Field, is a gem. It's a jewel. I've been to Sporting KC. I've been to, you know, the Colorado Rapids venue. And then I was at the Vikings-Chargers game in December at in Carson, California, which is the home of the LA Galaxy. And, you know, not really an NFL venue, but certainly suited for soccer. So I like the model and the blueprint that the league has used. And in most cases, they want soccer-specific stadiums, don't they?
They do, and it tells a great story. You know, you have full stadiums, you know, 25, 30,000 people a game in all these stadiums. You have an ability, I think, to build an infrastructure of a business, which is so important in soccer. Now, it's really important we start to really continue to generate revenue, because ultimately soccer is such a big global game, and there is such an investment in players around the world that to become one of the best leagues in the world, you have two things you got to do. You got to develop them, which I think a lot of teams and a lot of clubs in MLS are really focused on investing money in youth player development. And the second one is you got to go out and find talent, and you got to acquire it, and you've got to sometimes pay for it. So for us to continue to grow as a big-time league in the world, we've got to continue to figure out ways to tell our story, to generate revenue, to build a business plan that's fiscally responsible so we can invest on the thing that I think is most important, which is the players on the field, which is what the fans get excited for when they come and watch Minnesota play.
I know Don Garber, the MLS commissioner, said last year, hey, I wish Allianz Field had a little bigger capacity. You're right around, I think, 19K. Could you add seats in there if need be?
We definitely could. There's no doubt, you know, there's room probably in some little spaces to add more. Again, I think the challenge for us and the story we wanted to tell in the Twin Cities, which I think is still so special, is just, to me, the private investment of this ownership group, which is from Minnesota, which understands, you know, the story of some of the tax burdens on the last couple stadiums for other sports teams in the market, that it was important that they were doing this to say, hey, we want to invest in the community. We don't want this to be a tax burden on the community. We want to figure out a way to do it. And I very confidently can say, hey, that affected how many seats we probably could have put in there to start out. That's not to say that we probably couldn't add, you know, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 more in some of the spaces in the corners as we grow into our identity of Minnesota United and being there. But I think we're going to make sure for the first couple of years we build into it. And like I said, last year we built some great momentum. I do think it's one of the best sports experiences I've ever experienced. And I'm excited for year two of just having that type of, environment and experience in the Twin Cities.
It is a ton of fun. And boy, the fan base is as engaged as any group of fans I've seen at any sporting event in the Twin Cities. They really get into it. One more thought for Manny Lagos. You signed a goalkeeper, Fred Emmings, first homegrown player in club history, came up through the Minu FC Academy, 6'5" goalkeeper. So he's got that size and that length, and you have to be happy with that one.
It's exciting. I mean, again, this is we've had a couple other big signings of maybe a little bit older, but young kids that we want to invest in for the future. And to sign a local kid from St. Paul, like you said, 6'5", 210, just a pure, thick athlete who has had a great preseason. You know, at that young of an age, you never know for going away for 4 weeks how he's going to perform, and he's done a great job. And we're just excited to work with him to grow into to be a part of this club and a part of this team for the future.
All right, Manny, always good to talk to you. Enjoy the Pacific Northwest, and that regular season starts 2 weeks from tomorrow against the Portland Timbers.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, very good. He's Manny Lagos, the sporting director for Minnesota United. Yes, soccer is here. They have gone through their winter training down in Florida, and as Manny said, they'll have some friendly matches, exhibition games, if you will, and then they begin for keeps Sunday, March 1st at Portland in Oregon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.